If I've been telling you anything that's interesting, I'm very pleased to have told you.
Well, it's all interesting, Bentley, and thank you very much indeed for giving your time. But, I'm sorry your mother's not sort of fit enough to have a little chat on it. But,
I was a member of the Manica Lifeboat when I was a young lad for 16 years. I helped to save 28 Norwegians out of the Ford. It was down wrecked. Do you remember the Ford? On the Dean?
Well, I think you could go on talking all day about your seafaring experiences, couldn't you?
I went out one night and we saved a ship called the Dolphin of Manchester on the Voices. We took Sheet of Falmouth. When we got there, the captain was bringing the crew back with the point of the revolver. They was leaving the ship, and he was going to shoot the lot of them. She hit the Voices rock and she knocked off two of her blades of her propeller. She only had one propeller left. I was up St. Kevin band room band practicing when the rockets went up, and somebody came in and said to me, "Quick, you're wanted. Rockets are gone up down Preswick, there's a wreck." When I went down, my brother was shouting to me, "Quick, son, put up your jacket." We went out and found this ship, the Dolphin of Manchester. We brought her to Falmouth, arrived here by 4 o'clock next morning. We had salvage on her. I believe I picked up £8. Yeah. £8 salvage. My share. Well, then again, I got out one morning down Rosnithin, early, go to sea. And it was, let me see now, just after the First World War. And I went out in the Barnfield. Now, where's the Barnfield?
Oh, where's that now? Opposite Sewell's there.
No,
you mean Charlie's Barnfield.
That's Park Gray.
Yeah, Charlie's Barnfield.
Barnfield. When I looked, the fog was clearing, thick fog. But my brother said to me, "Look, son," he said, "I don't know, we shall go see, Dave. Very thick fog." He said, "You go out in the field," he said, "and see how things is looking. If you can see the sea, see if you can see Kadrivi." When I went out in the Barnfield and looked, walked down across the Barnfield far enough, I could see a full rigged ship, a barkentine, full rigged. Her stern up against the minstrel and her bow, south-south-east from the minstrel. Up as right as if you'd stole her up, sails and all set. "My God," I said, "high and dry." I came in and I told Father what I seen, see? I was only a youngster. He said, "Look, son," he said, "let me go out and see what it is." Went up there with me and looked. He said, "Look," he said, "you go Manical Coastguard Station as fast as ever you can go." There was an old Coastguard here at the time station called Beecham. Old Beecham. And he dearly liked to drop beer. And Beecham should have been out Manacles that night on duty. And many times he'd go up St. Kevin in the evening, and when he was, you know, tiddly, instead of going out Manical lot, he would go in Preston Coastguard in the dwellings and wouldn't go out station, see? I went out Coastguard Station and rattled, nobody there. Beecham on there. I run now in Prestock. Hard as I could go. He lived in number one. First house as you went to the gate. I hollered and shouted and rattled him up. He come to the window. I said, "Mr. Beecham," I said, "there's a full rigged ship, high and dry on the Manacles." "My God," he said, "Bentley, tell me quick, what is it? What is it?" So I described to him exactly what I saw, see? He got on the phone now to his superior officer, who was Commander Elliot, in charge of the Southwest Division of Coast Guards at Mullion. Commander Elliot lived Mullion then.
Yeah.
Wasn't Spencer, who you know is with there, Elliot. Beecham was reporting this wreck as if he was out Manacles. He hadn't more than put the phone down, reporting her, when the fog cleared good enough that Blackhead Coastguard saw her. God, after that, I couldn't go wrong with Beecham. I could have any mortal thing. He come to her place night or two afterwards. My God, he said, "You saved my bed."
Yeah.
He'd have had a sack, see?
She was French, was she?
The Barkentine, the Le Marne.
Yeah.
The Le Marne of Fico.
Yeah.
French Barkentine. Load of a coal.
And didn't you get a lot of copper off her?
I was out diving, all her sides were copper sheaths, man. Yeah. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of weights of copper sheaths.
Yeah.
And I used to go out there.
You had the damn lot, because nobody else can find any there. You had the lot.
I used to go out there with a long hook on a boat hook. When the tide was running away, the ebb tide was running away, and rake the weed with the boat hook, see? With a hook, and the ebb tide would carry the weed away. Then we'd pick up the cobbler. Hundreds and hundreds of weights. We used to go there till we finished all in gear and pick it up. Why were we there picking up this copper one day? Right beside the Minstrel Rock, we always heard that the Dryad that I told you about this now from the Peninsula War, that she founded on the Minstrel, or she was lost. She got in there and she broke up on the Minstrel. See? And I said to my brother, I said, "Look, there's a big piece of copper down there." We opened and brought it up. That same piece of metal is in St. Kevin Church.
Yeah, I know what you're
on a slate. Found by J.H. Cliff. Cliff never found
Off
gold.
Primrose. supposed to
be. The primrose, not the dryad, the primrose, you're right. When we come into Cadreevy Wooden, Cliff was down there, because he used to keep a little button there then, see? Because old Cliff was a great historian, you know. Yeah. He wasn't no fool.
No.
And he said to my brother, he said, look, George, he said, where'd you get that from? Brother Tom, see? He jumped it in a minute. This is a gudgeon. One of the gudgeons in the primrose, from a rudder gear. So Cliff said to my brother, he said, George, he said, or Martin, you know, he's called my brother Martin, as you knew. He said, can I have that? I said, this Cliff from window. I don't want the damn thing. He said, you can have him, of course you can. Cliff took him away. Hadn't mounted on that slab and put it in St. Kevin Church. Well, he was, if you mind, he's right. Found by J.H. Cliff.
He found in your boat.
He found, but we found him.
Yeah.
And nearly in St. Kevin Church now. Found by J.H. Cliff.
Yeah. I've just been reading a book this week called Out of Appledore.
Yeah.
About catches and sailing boats and that sort of thing. And he says that one of their boats was lost in Coverack in 1922. Called Heather Bell.
I remember quite well.
Yeah?
Yes.
That's the first I ever heard of her.
Of course, I remember that. Book, yeah. Heather Bell used to trade from Lydney in South Wales to Coverack with coal.
Yeah.
And the captain's son courted.
That's now, he said his.
Do you know Percy Eustace down Coverack?
Yeah.
Well, Percy and Noel, do you know them?
Yeah, of course.
Well, they had a sister called Hazel.
Oh, because in the book.
And the captain's son married Hazel.
And he said he was engaged to her. I couldn't think of what
that's
it was.
Right. Well,
the Slade, there was called.
Hey?
Slade, the Kipper.
That's
Skipper,
right.
Well, anyway, I'm going to switch the recorder off now because we've heard a lot of tales about the Mohegan and other ships, so fade down
right
and carry on the natterings. And
well,
thank you again.
Thank you.